Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Welcome back to Right on Four Corners. I'm your host, Elsheree Gladden. I'm a USA Today bestselling author with over 30 novels published. And on this week's episode, we have a Colorado author with us, Laura Pritchett, and she's going to be talking about her upcoming book from Torrey House Press, Playing with Wildfire. Laura, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Well, thank you for having me on. This is just a delight. And I am a Coloradoan, born here in northern Colorado, raised on a ranch. And there's two things to know about me. One is I love books and reading and authors and talking about writing craft. And two is I love the natural world. So if I had to introduce myself, it would say it's a Coloradoan and a nature lover and a book lover.
Awesome. I enjoy many of those things as well, and I'm excited to talk about all of that and how it plays into your writing. So we're going to be talking about Playing with Wildfire, but looking back over your history, this is the first of two books you have coming out this year, but you have several that are already published, along with lots of different articles and shorter pieces as well, which we can get into in a bit. But your interest in the outdoors, in the environment, plays a big role in a lot of your writing. So tell us kind of where that passion came from. Growing up in Colorado, I can probably guess, but at least some of it. But tell us, yeah, just kind of how that has influenced your writing and where that love and passion for the natural world and the environment has come from.
Sure thing. Well, on this ranch that I grew up on in northern Colorado, I had six brothers. So I always joke that I was just trying to get out of the house and away from them. And I would take a book and slip out to the back of the farm / ranch and read. And so love of natural world and books came together for me. And all of my books, I have five novels out and have edited three anthologies and have two nonfiction books out, one about bears in Colorado. But all of them are, you know, have characters and themes that I find important to the American West today. And my whole goal has been to try to rewrite the Western, is one way of thinking of it. From a very early age, I was confused about why so many books coming out of the American West were so limited, you know, usually with a white male protagonist who had a person of color and a woman as a sidekick, but only a sidekick, right? Mm-hmm. And I just thought John Wayne, you know, kind of ridiculous stereotypes of a very non-diverse, very white male perspective of the world. And that is fine, but it's not the only story. And so I hope that each of my novels tackles that and tries to break down barriers and tell kind of more sophisticated, nuanced tales. So they take on topics of the day, single parenthood and drug use and wildfire, climate change, poverty, rural blue collar lives, which are, you know, the people I come from and am proud of, education, access to education. I hope that my novels, you know, they're all plot based and, you know, I hope they're very interesting stories, but the themes are very, I think, settled into what I would call like the contemporary, sophisticated, complex, beautiful West.
I like that description. That's wonderful. And I will say you definitely have a wide range of characters who bring a lot of different perspectives to the topic in Playing with Wildfire. But before we jump into too many specific questions, give our listeners an overview, kind of a general idea of what Playing with Wildfire is about so they know what we're talking about.
Sure. Well, thanks. It's coming out February 2024 from Torrey House Press, and it's a polyphonic novel, meaning that it's told from all sorts of perspectives and point of view from a community in northern Colorado as the Cameron Peak Fire of 2020 is bearing down on the community. And it's completely based on my real life. I live on the evacuation perimeter of that fire. So I was watching people come down off the mountain with stock trailers filled with horses and goats and cattle and belongings and ash on their trucks and ash on my house and ash in my house. And it was traumatizing. It was a terrible time for so many people. And there's been other wildfires in other parts of the West, of course, that are equally as traumatizing and difficult. So anyway, the novel is told from all these points of view of people in the community and animals in the community. A few of the chapters are narrated by non-humans as they respond to the stresses of the wildfire. And it is a book about trauma, but it's also a book about community, I think, and healing because, you know, in times of crisis, people forget past injuries or the fact that you have different politics or that one neighbor has annoyed another neighbor. You know, you come together and you work together to help. You just do. And so that's what I think the book is about as well.
Well, thank you for that description in giving us an idea of what you were intending and what you were hoping people would kind of take away from this. And we'll dig into that a little bit more because there's a lot of layers and interesting things that I want to talk to you about that and how this was developed. The first thing, though, that I did want to ask you about, the polyphonic viewpoint, it's not the structure that probably most people are used to picking up when they pick up a novel. That was an interesting one. And I've been seeing this style a little bit more recently, and it's been fun to see the different ways that people are using it. So this, with yours, you have fairly short pieces all put together, introducing a variety of characters and getting their initial viewpoints. And then I would say there's not really a strict pattern on whose viewpoint you go to when. It's kind of, I'm guessing, whichever one you felt like you needed to write at that portion. Tell us a little bit more about why you went with the structure and how that helped you develop the characters and the themes and ideas that you were trying to put forth to the reader.
Sure. Well, I do love a standard narrative, don't get me wrong. And my other novel forthcoming in 2024, The Three Keys, is a standard beach read, you know, one point of view character arc. And so I love those kind of novels. But I do think there's a time and place for more experimental form and technique and polyphonic voices having lots of narrators. And one of those times is when you're trying to talk about something like climate change or climate chaos or kind of those big, nebulous, heavy topics that are hard to access through standard narrative. And so I really felt like I wanted to write about the trauma of COVID, trauma of wildfire, and climate change generally. But to me, trying to write about that would be like trying to drink through one huge blasting fire hose, you know, like blasting water at you. And it's easier to take smaller sips and to enter into the story from different angles, surprising perspectives, and to think, oh, that's how, you know, a bear might have experienced this fire, or the aspen trees, or a child, or a search and rescue volunteer member, or a biologist, or a woman taking people into her home who are evacuees and have nowhere else to go. So instead of just telling one story, I really wanted to tell the community story. And I've done that in two of my other books, The Blue Hour and Hell's Bottom, Colorado, where I chose to narrate really from the town's perspective more than a human's perspective. And to do that, it's a little like Olive Kittredge or Winesburg, Ohio. I mean, there is a tradition in American literature, I think, of breaking away from standard narratives and telling perspectives of like an entire community. That's what I was going for.
Well, I really like that. And I like what you said that as much as the standard narrative works in a lot of ways, sometimes you do need something a little bit different. And that was something with this book that pulled me in right off the bat because it is a tough topic. It's highly debated. There's lots of opinions. There's a lot of contention anytime the climate comes into a conversation with people who have differing viewpoints. And it's one that can, I think, really become divisive quickly if it's allowed to. And one of the interesting things about your book is that you get so many different perspectives on what is being experienced in this town from a really wide variety of characters. And sometimes it's just a couple paragraphs, sometimes it's several pages, sometimes it's not immediately right there to the reader of where the connection is. some of the characters, you take a little bit more time to develop and see where their viewpoint is or how they're related to everything and where their thoughts are on what's happening. So you get a lot of different characters, different viewpoints, different pacing with everybody. And it really did give you a sense of this is not an easy topic, but everybody is experiencing what's going on in today's world, specifically with the wildfire in the book. But just in general, one thing can be happening and everybody that it's happening to is going to experience that differently. And it really, I think for the reader, at least for me, helps open up that perspective and that opportunity to understand a little bit more about the world in general and maybe the people around us.
Well, thank you. Yeah, in this book, there's people politically on the right, on the left, there's young and old, there's different traditions that they're coming from. And sometimes they poke at each other, you know, for being woo-woo or woke or conservative, you know. But the point, I hope the main take home of the book is that everyone is busy trying to be a human and express their humanity. And being civil to each other, you know, instead of like a civil war type of situation, right? Like they are coming together in a time of crisis. And I think that is, you know, of course, I hope that's what happens to our nation as a whole, is that people keep on talking to each other and lending helping hands and that sort of thing. And on a local level, I see that happening. I have neighbors who have very different political or religious ideologies than I do, but locally, we are able to maintain friendships and keep that going. And I think so many people report that. The news makes it sound like we all hate each other, and I just don't think that's true. But I wanted to represent a lot of people in this book, and I wanted to tell their stories. Yeah, you know, some are little quick tidbits, and some are kind of fuller, deeper stories. And I wanted to tell it in an experimental way. I happen to teach and direct the MFA in nature writing at Western Colorado University, and I teach a class on experimental writing. So flash and what's called episodic or listicle writing, or what writers often call hermit crab works, where you crawl into the form of something else to subvert it. Like one of my stories is told from the point of view of it looks like a grant application, but it's not. You know, it's a story of a woman's life. But that's, you know, and that's called a hermit crab in the writerly world, as you probably know, and the listeners do too. But it's, you're calling into shell of something else in order to subvert and surprise the reader. So wanted to be doing all of those things to basically create a situation of chaos that showed how we can come together in times of chaos.
And I think you really accomplished that. I found it fun to see all the different ways that you put stories together in the book. The grant application one, I started reading that, and at first I was like, wait, hold on. And because I didn't immediately notice some of the little details in some of the different pieces, and then going back and reading it more carefully and getting more of the comments and the depth of what she was saying. So I thought that was a really fun section to read and see that done. I loved the different styles and the different approaches to telling these stories, which I think is a lot of fun for people who write to see different ways to do that. And like you said, just the different forms. I really enjoyed getting to see that because I don't come across that very often in the books that I get sent, or, you know, the ones that I just kind of find. So I really enjoyed that experience part of it as well. I did want to ask you as well, like you said, you have a really wide variety of characters who you're telling these bits and pieces of the experience of this wildfire from. How did you approach coming up with all of the characters and making them so different from each other? Because there really were not characters that I ever felt like were too similar or just slightly different from this one. They really had their own unique personality and interesting quirks and fascinations. The one character who's digging up the grave. I was so fascinated by that character. I was like, because you still bring in the messages and the ideas that you're trying to stay focused on, but you do it through so many different lenses that it was a lot of fun to read that and meet so many unique and interesting characters.
Oh, I just love hearing that. Thank you. That they weren't at all alike, because that was one of my goals. And truly, I was trying to celebrate my local community, the sung and unsung heroes of crisis, basically, because we thank the wildfire fighters and the rescue volunteers, as we should, and they are wonderful. But there were other stories too, you know, people working at desks and, you know, the biologists who are working on restoration efforts and children who are setting up lemonade stands, and everybody had a different story. And I didn't want to have a typical character, you know, somebody who is much like me, like my age or my ethnicity. I really wanted to capture a whole entire community and reach into different stories. So that makes me happy to hear that you also were delighted by that.
Absolutely. I think that's a tough thing for a lot of people to have that many characters for one, even though you're getting short sections with each character rather than, I don't know, like the Wheel of Time where there's like, I swear, 800 main characters you're following through all the books. But I think just in general, developing that identity for so many different characters, that seems really challenging. Did you base them on people you've known or seen, or what was some of the inspiration for some of your more unusual characters, and then even just differentiating between some of the more everyday characters that you had, people that we might, you know, meet around our own towns?
Well, I will admit there's a lot of nonfiction in this book. I mean, it is fiction, don't get me wrong. It's made up imaginative stories, but I did use a lot of my life. For example, I actually did help my mother dig up a grave. That whole story that you brought up was actually a nonfiction essay published in High Country News about 2 decades ago. And it was about a grave that was falling into a ditch. And so we helped move the grave. It was an old pioneer cemetery and it was on our family ranch. And it was, you know, we had to move it to safer ground. So I used that real lived experience and I made up the character who did it, but she's not totally unlike me. And also, of course, I've lived in college. I'm in my 50s, so I've lived here 5 decades. And I just feel like I've witnessed a lot of what goes on in the book, wildfires and then flooding afterwards. And so I guess I'm saying like part of the book is just pretty much flat out nonfiction, or, you know, like my true lived experience. And the rest is just really me sitting down and thinking, like, I think writers play that what if game, right? Like, what if I were a kid suffering through this? Or what if I was a teenager breaking up with my first girlfriend or boyfriend? Or what if I was a retiree who couldn't get out of the house as easily? Or what if I were a mental, I think a very poignant story narrated by a woman who has schizophrenia who refuses to leave her home during the fire. And I won't tell you what happens to her. You should read the book to find out. But she, you know, I hope I'm telling various points of view, all with compassion. A great deal of compassion. I think to answer your question, it's like half lived experience and half imaginative, but all bound by compassionate stories of people. I hope that's true.
I think so. One of the things that I enjoyed and that caught my attention was you're telling so many different viewpoints and, like you said, all over the political spectrum, all over in just situations and how they're viewing what's happening. And there's not that layer of judgment that I think we see so much in popular media and social media and all of that, where, you know, everything's got to be nitpicked and examined for, oh, well, did you mean this? Is this what you're saying? You know, that kind of attitude. And even when some of your characters maybe don't agree with each other, the overall voice of your narration presents everything in a way that's like, here are these people, here's what they're experiencing, this is their viewpoint, take it for what it is, learn from it, or, you know, do what you will with it. But having that experience to be able to just be presented with these characters living through this experience together in a variety of ways and processing it and understanding it so differently, I really enjoyed being able to read through those experiences without feeling like I had to agree or disagree or come to any certain conclusion. Like I didn't, as the reader, feel that pressure from you as the author, which I really appreciated because it let me kind of take the experiences of the characters in at my own understanding and processing and just experience it with them rather than feeling like I had to accomplish something, if that makes sense.
Oh, it does. And thank you again. Yes. I always teach my students, write your characters from a place of compassion. Don't judge them. You don't have to like them necessarily, but don't judge. You're not here to judge them. You're here to listen to their story and render it on the page. And I think writing is an act of listening, really. I know it makes writers sound a little bit nutty, but I'm sure you've experienced this too, where you're really just listening to the character who's narrating and trying to tell their story, render them. So some of the characters I didn't totally love. I didn't love their priorities or how they viewed America or wildfire or like I would see them more as like takers than givers. But they each had their own wounds and fears and traumas and weight that was pushing them down. And that's true in our world as human beings, right? We try to go about, I think, with compassion for everyone. And that's as the writer, I think, though, we absolutely must do that. We're not here to judge. We're here to illustrate.
Absolutely. I like that concept of writing with compassion for your characters. I think that that is really important. It's interesting how different writers approach different things. Like you said, your story is more plot-based rather than character-driven. You do have a theme and a message that you're hoping to get across to readers. And sometimes that can come across pushy. Not yours, but in general, when someone's trying to write with a message or within a certain goal, sometimes that takes over the writing and it shows through to the reader. And that can be difficult to connect with the reader when there's that, I guess, that really obvious intention of, I would like you to see this or think about this thing the same way I do. That puts up a barrier in a lot of cases with the reader, because if they don't already agree with you, it creates that sense of, well, why should I have to agree with you? And whereas the way you approach it is more of, here is information, here are the experiences of these characters, take it in and see what you think by the end of your reading experience. And I liked that approach because it did, for my experience as a reader, give me that space and that time to understand more of what was really going on for everybody individually, and then how to put that together as an overall theme or overall message that I could take away from it. So I really liked that approach, and I did feel that compassion for each of your characters. Because, like you said, nobody's going to read every single character in this and see the same thing or understand them completely or share their viewpoints and opinions, because you have a lot of differing viewpoints with your characters. But I think giving your reader that space starts with you as the author having that compassion for your characters and not forcing them into a box of one way or than another that like drives home your ideas. You're letting the reader develop their own ideas. So yeah, I thought that that was wonderful to be able to dive into stories about a topic that can be really hard to have conversations with people about, but feeling like I was able to, I guess it's kind of a one-sided conversation since you're reading. You don't actually get to interact with the characters, but getting to take all of that in and then work through it as the reader.
Thanks. Yes, I do write a column for the Colorado Sun, and it's an opinion column. So I do sometimes have an agenda with my writing, right? It is an agenda-based writing when we have an opinion that we're expressing. But when I'm writing fiction, I just want people to love the humanity of the characters. And so I step aside from that. I do know it can be tricky to walk that balance, right? Like
I bet.
some novels come across as too didactic or message driven. And some of them I really like, like Barbara Kingsolver sometimes gets criticized for being a little too message driven, but she's one of my favorite all-time authors. I think she'll go down in American history as being one of our greats. But she often does have a message that she wants to the reader to leave with. And I think I can lean into that territory, but I try to remind myself as a writer, just tell a good story, right? And readers will. They will form their own conclusions about how best to be a human being and go through the world, and what different people have different priorities, and that can be okay, or you can advocate for yours. It's all, but just do it with some compassion and love in your heart.
And I think that that's just a wonderful message in general right now in today's world. That's not always the approach that people take.
Yeah. Exactly.
Unfortunately, but it's interesting because I've had a few books recently that have been a little bit more message oriented, and instead of them coming across as pushy, like I think a lot of people are starting to have that sense of I'm going to connect, I'm going to be listened to more if I can present this in a way that is human, that is relatable, rather than shouting at my mm-hmm. readers. Because that, mm-hmm. you know, that just tends to drive people away. And some people, yeah. you know, are more open and receptive to hearing different perspectives than others. And sometimes more receptive in a fictional format than in news or something else. And maybe it's less threatening, or maybe there's an entertainment factor to it. I don't know the psychology behind it, but I have noticed that I think more writers are taking that approach when it comes to fictional writing and having an important message that they want to get across, but doing it in a way that feels more welcoming and inviting and mm-hmm. compassionate and just accessible, I think, to more people who come from different backgrounds and different ideas. And I think that's really a good thing. And it's nice to see, I think, maybe that shift a little bit more from the more intensive, listen to me, I know the answer, or I have something that everybody else needs to understand. But I think giving it in that story form can really be a great way to present that message to a wide range of people.
I think so too. And you probably know as well as I do all those studies out there that show that reading fiction and readers of fiction are more empathetic. And I think it's mm-hmm. because we just have been involved with somebody's story who's not us, you know, could be someone in India or Africa or someone with a different sexual orientation than we are. And being with them in a novel just expands our worldview. And I love that about fiction. Just be with the character, walk yeah. in their shoes.
Definitely. I think that's a really wonderful aspect of fiction, especially, is that you can, for a few hours or however long, live in somebody else's life for a little bit and experience what something completely foreign to you might be like, and help just broaden that understanding a little bit. I think that really makes a big difference, especially even though we're so connected in today's world when it comes to the digital side of things. I think we're also very isolated in a lot of ways from just interacting and having that day-to-day community in a lot of ways, especially after COVID. Mm-hmm. And I think just having more opportunities to understand the people around us a little bit more is always going to be a good thing.
I agree.
Well, Laura, I figured that this would probably go by really quickly because, of course, when there's a million things I want to talk about, it goes by super fast. But we are just about out of time. But I did want to ask, when is your other book, Three Keys, coming out? And then how can people find you and your books and stay up to date on what you're doing?
Well, thank you. So The Three Keys comes out in July 2024, and that is about a woman traveling across the West, breaking into people's homes for a reason, which you'll have to read about. She's hilarious, and it's a standard, as I mentioned, kind of beach read, easy read book coming out from Penguin. Both books should be available at your local independent bookstore or online, and you can find out more about where I'll be touring and stopping and teaching at laurapritchett.com.
Wonderful. Thank you. And just to remind our readers, the book we were talking about today was Playing with Fire from Torrey House Press, and that is coming out February 13th of 2024. And that is, again, by Laura Pritchett. And I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to visit with me today and talk about your writing and everything else you're doing that we didn't get to. Hopefully I can have you back another time and we can chat some more.
I would love that. Thank you so much for this show and for doing all that you do.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.